and welcome to the Office Dev Show live from Build 2016. We're here in San Francisco, and we'll be talking about the great features that we released this week. I'm here with Rolando, Yina, and Pratish. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Rocking the keynote yesterday.
Thank you. Fantastic demos.
So clearly the demo gods loved what we released. So let's dive in. Let's talk about all the great features. Let's start with add-ins, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we announced several things on the add-ins front. From the adding commands, which is kind of the big features that allow you to place buttons in the ribbon, which is what people expect to see, right? It seems like now that we have all these entry points within the Office interface, people feel like, hey, I'm really inside Office and I can make my solution be part of Office. And that's one of the big things that we want to achieve. We also announced support for the Mac. So, you know, multi-platform is one of the big value props of the framework. So add-ins in Mac, that's great to see. And then there's also a set of great capabilities on the APIs. We have new Visual Studio templates that allow you to create add-ins that do that. We introduce a new API for pop-up windows, dialogues. It's very simple, but allows you to do a lot of things that you couldn't do before, like go bigger screen, model dialogues, prompt the user for credentials, that kind of thing.
Very cool, very cool. So definitely we're starting to deliver more and more on the whole cross-platform and making add-ins available everywhere where Office lives.
Absolutely. One of the things that we want to get right is that on those platforms, developers can have the confidence that they develop an add-in, and it's just going to work, right? So the team is spending a lot of time making sure that that's true, that there's consistency, robustness, and the framework is just reliable, and they just need to worry about their code and their integration with Office.
Excellent. And we're also investing in the parity between the API set that we had available way back when on VSTO and VBA, making sure that's still solidly in the product, but then also expanding what you can do with add-ins and HTML and JavaScript.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's a great topic also to talk about. A lot of people ask us, hey, are you going to be where VBA and VSTO are in terms of the API depth? And the goal is yes. I mean, we eventually want to get as rich in terms of API as we have today in VSTO and VBA. So we definitely see this as the future. However, there's certain types of solutions that we still think are going to continue to live in VSTO and COM. So we're going to preserve both technologies, but VSTO and COM are probably going to be a more specialized set of support for scenarios where you need to get access to the local machine, like file system access, registry, the windowing, infrastructure. Those won't be available on the web sandbox, but everything else we expect to bring to the web.
That's great. No, that's great insight and detail about what people can expect and what scenarios will work and which ones they'll need to make work in the add-in model.
Yeah.
So, fantastic. Thank you. So, Yina, tell us about our MS Graph APIs.
Yeah, well, it's growing like crazy.
It is growing.
Yes. We are very excited to be adding more things to the API every day. We're very excited about the growth in the amount of requests that we're getting and the number of applications that are using. We have a huge number of tenants that are already using applications built on top of the Microsoft Graph API. And it's just mind-blowing, the amount of growth that we've had since we launched back in November in New York. So it's this time at Build, we're announcing new functionality. You saw yesterday in the keynote the Find Meeting Times API, for example, which basically takes away all of that heavy lifting on having to figure out pre-busy information and matching that, and it just gives you a set of results.
And that's been huge. That's been an ask for so long.
Yeah, it's just getting more set of APIs that allow you to get things done, and not just getting access to the data, but also getting access to
actionable things.
Getting rid of having to do all that calculation on your side, or leveraging all of the signals that we have in the service to get the more contextual and intelligent information. So, it's really good.
I mean, it is really good.
Huge progress in terms of the number of APIs that we're exposing, in the number of requests that we're getting, and it's been a great journey to be part of. Yeah.
Fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit more about the converged auth piece? Because I know that was definitely something that was, on the horizon.
And yeah.
which
yeah, definitely.
Still working on it, but exciting things to talk
well,
about.
Well, there's a lot of news there. So Microsoft Graph can be used to build applications for both consumer and commercial services. Mm-hmm. So let me give you an example. OneDrive for Business, mm-hmm. there's OneDrive for Business and OneDrive for Consumer.
Right.
And they have different set of APIs. But now you can access that same information through graph.microsoft.com.
Through the one endpoint.
Through the one endpoint for both consumer and commercial. The team in Azure AD has been working really hard to get a converged authorization model as well, which basically takes MSA-based accounts and Azure Active Directory-based accounts and provides a single endpoint where you can do the authorization and the authentication. The protocol is actually GA, so you can start building applications today that get access to both yep. and then use the same API. The libraries, the team announced this week a preview of the library, which is really cool. We got a .NET library that you can use two lines of code and then you can get all of the yep. authentication pieces done right away. It's just the simplicity that is coming into the platform, right?
Exactly.
Before it's multiple auth stacks, multiple endpoints. It's just like, it's one. You don't need to be, having multiple things on your code.
Yep.
One endpoint for auth, one endpoint for getting the data across both consumer and commercial. We're very excited about that.
It's
really cool to see that the level of simplification that we're bringing to the platform.
I love the one call, right?
Yes.
That one REST call is
yes.
just brilliant.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
So, fantastic.
Yeah.
And Pratish. Huge announcements.
I know.
Huge.
It's really been a super fast-paced week, starting from last week. I mean, I want to recap, if you listen to Satya's keynote and Chi's keynote, conversation is truly becoming the platform for apps. And if you kind of look at it, there's two parts of it. There's about connecting other services into Office conversations,
mm-hmm.
and then there's about embedding conversations into your apps. And the embedding piece is more Skype, and they've got their bots and Skype Web SDKs. The parts that we announced last week is about connectors, Office
yep.
Store connectors, and that's really about bringing all these conversations that you have in all these other services and having them managed in one place, your shared inbox space, right? So what does that do? Your team is now engaged and in sync because all the discussions in one place, and you can have a conversation about it. So we know people work with GitHub for managing their code repositories. We know they do use Trello or Asana mm-hmm. for project management. And Twitter, right? And so no matter what background you're in, whether you're in marketing, DevOps, HR, customer support, you can get all these communications coming in right into your inbox.
Yep.
So last week, we announced the general availability for Office 365 connectors. So any Office 365 user can go ahead and set up a group. And we've GA'd about 60 connectors now. For all of these big brand name, worked with a bunch of partners. And yesterday, we announced the broad availability of our developer platform mm-hmm. for Office 365 connectors.
Excellent.
I think what is really cool is that anyone in the group can go and configure one of those connectors.
That's,
it doesn't necessarily
mm-hmm.
need to be an admin or, just anyone that's a member of the group can go and create a connector.
That's right,
and bring information into the group.
That's right. Right from the beginning, we designed it. Groups, I think, by design itself, is supposed to be a very shared collaboration
yeah.
space. You don't need administrators to go set it up for you. So even if I have a marketing team, I can go and set up my Twitter connector. I can set up the hashtags, the channels I want to follow, because my whole team, those are channels that describe my product or has communications about my product. So I can set it up in my account, but then the tweets are coming in and the whole group gets to see it
yeah.
and collaborate or have conversation about it.
Yeah, and from the developer perspective, it's actually just a webhook.
Thank you for
post,
bringing it up.
Right?
Yeah, I think there's three ways I want to really talk about the developer platform. The first thing is, let's talk about the value prop.
Yeah.
So obviously I touched about these conversations all being managed in one place and having a team go and have a conversation about it. The second thing is then empowering these users to kind of interact with that message. So we do have deep link actions, and we also have reply gestures. So some of our ISPs have taken advantage of these gestures. I want to point out one partner called Just Reply. All they do is they do project management, but in addition, they send out timesheet reminders. Hey, can you fill up your time for today? Because these are billable projects.
Mm-hmm.
So the connected message comes to your group, and then it says hey, can everyone submit your times for today? And so you can just do hashtag billable project, 4 hours, I worked on so-and-so fixing bugs today. And I can just reply back, and that gets posted back to the project management portal.
Hmm.
Excellent.
So using a simple reply gesture, I was able to even interact with the message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's kind of about the value prop. The second thing is what you touched on. It is super easy to build, because all you need to do is a webhook, mm-hmm. Post a JSON payload, we take care of the UX for you, right? There's no UI, anything to build. And so how do you go and get a preview of this experience? You know, we have a sandbox, so you can just simply play with your JSON. Don't even write a single line of code. Just, you know, structure your JSON, click preview, you get to see the card. And we take care of rendering it in Outlook desktop, Outlook 2016, Outlook on the web, and the group's mobile app.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about
the experience. And there's also some flexibility around the card.
That's absolutely right. So we allow you to design the card. If you want to have images in the card, you can go and do that, deep links. You get to author the actions. So what are the call to actions you want for your user? Like you want to go deep link into Twitter, or you want to deep link into Asana to go complete that market app as asked. Mm-hmm. So you can do that. One of my colleagues built, for his demo yesterday, built like an event, Zilla, you know, just a demo app, kind of mimicking what it takes to organize an event and have users subscribe to events in certain categories, like technology. But the call to actions he designed was join the meeting via Skype Bridge. So it would just deep link into Skype and just quickly join the bridge. So the developers have a canvas really to design their card and the buttons they want and allow that rich two-way interaction between the user and their service.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I love the fact that we also created a sandbox, much like the Graph Explorer, for the connectors, where you don't need to spin up a tenant. You don't need to do all of this, you know, extra work ahead of time to just start playing with it.
Just
so where can people go to play with the connectors?
Thank you, Sonny, for bringing it up. There's just one website to remember. You can go to dev.office.com, search for connectors. It'll deep link into our documentation portal. You can find everything to get started with just like the simple sandbox like we have there. And to how do you build one and publish it to our catalog.
Perfect.
That's the third part. Actually, the value to the framework is once you get it built, how do you get it distributed? The setup process is very simple. You can have a connect to Office 365 button on your website, so anyone can find it through SEO and get there. But you'll also be listed, once you're published, you'll be listed in our Office 365 in-product catalog, which is available to all users, and get that wide distribution that you want for your connector.
Very cool. Very cool. So what next?
There's some questions, actually, I got. Andrew Connell was asking me about the Mac, and he's saying, hey, you guys have support for the Mac today, but it's not really with all the features that we're seeing in the desktop. When do we expect to see all those features coming to the Mac? So we are working really hard on that precisely, and we should expect between 3 to 6 months from now, we will bring the missing features on the Mac, specifically adding commands and the ability to extend compose emails.
Excellent.
And other question that I get a lot is whether you can do OAuth 2 with add-ins. So in one session, I had a demo where that demonstrates how to do an OAuth 1 flow against QuickBooks Online. So if you didn't see that, you can go watch the session that I had yesterday. This question is about OAuth 2. And the answer there is yes. I mean, add-ins and with the new Dialog API that pops up a Dialog, you can very easily implement an OAuth flow. The pattern that we are recommending as a best practice is that you start the pop-up, you start your OAuth flow inside the pop-up, you finish in the pop-up, and once you get your access tokens and everything in the pop-up, and you pass it back to the parent add-in, and then you close the dialog. And it just provides a very seamless experience integrated into Office.
And I'm assuming we have all that documented on dev.office.com/docs?
Absolutely, you got it.
Excellent. Which is our new document for everything Office development. And you can go there and get all of the documentation. So we have some questions. Is it possible to customize the ribbon interface using Office apps?
Well, I think we already talked about
it. Yes, so we did that.
Yeah, definitely. Again, just to reiterate, new feature announced at Build, add-ins, commands, are GA.
Yep.
So you can customize not only the ribbon, but also other places like context menus. Outlook, for example, allows you to even add new modules to Outlook. Mm-hmm. So there's a ton of cool extension points that are coming in the pipeline through these new first drop-downs. You can have buttons, drop-downs, dialogues. So definitely.
The cool part is that it's just you just declare them with a simple XML.
Mm-hmm.
You can tie in any JavaScript function to them, and they look and feel like they're right there within the Office experience.
Yeah.
And then we have also, like, to build the add-ins itself, we have the Office Fabric. So we, now
yes,
that we're talking about look and
fabric.
Feel,
mm-hmm. yep.
That's a great way to just make your add-ins feel like they belong in part of Office. Just take the fabric and use the same design paradigms that we use for all, I mean, for the, our own applications, right?
So I know we announced Fabric a while ago. We have the site. People are using it. People love it. But for those that don't know, can you dive in a little bit more on what it is and how easy it is to integrate?
Sure. So if you think about Bootstrap, right? So it's basically that for Office, where we take all of the same design concepts that we have for our own clients, like how do we present the people card, or how do we present the list, and what are the types, and what are the fonts, and all of these different things, and just put them in a library that you can reference the classes and very easily get the same look and feel that we have for within our own application.
Yeah, and the cool thing is that Fabric is a framework that is not only available to developers, but it's also being used internally to build our own UIs.
Yeah, exactly.
So you actually get to use the resources that the teams inside Microsoft are using, like as Gina said, icons, fonts, colors, styles, all those things you can just mimic exactly in your add-in. So that's the idea, right? That you are building the same user interface.
So it looks very native to Office, even though it's your own app.
Exactly.
That's
very good. And it's just the one JavaScript include, right?
Yes. One more thing I'd like to mention is we talked about integrating into the Office UI with add-ins, using Fabric to make your add-in look and feel. We also are really focused on performance. So another piece of the framework is making sure that add-ins are performant and they behave really well inside the Office UI. But for developers, it's also something that they need to think about. So when I think about, hey, I'm going to build an add-in that integrates to the Office, the user is going to expect that that is just part of Office, right? They're going to use it through the ribbon, they're going to see it executing, and you would expect that they perform the same as other Office features.
Absolutely.
So one thing I would say is, as a developer, if you're building an add-in, please take a look at our best practices that we have in, again, dev.office.com. For performance, we're going to be publishing more and more, but definitely make sure your add-in loads quickly, and if you have long-running operations, you provide UI like progress that allows the user to at least get some feedback of what's going on.
So they're not sitting there just waiting and not knowing what's going on with the add-in, there's some others other than performance. I thought, obviously, Fabric is one, right? So making sure that the visuals of your app match to Office.
That's right.
The performance, what are some additional ones?
We're going to mention the inclined store also.
Yes.
In Outlook now, Rolando and my team, we announced an inclined store where users can easily discover your add-ins. And with the toggle of a switch, it's just a toggle on-off switch. And it's so easily integrated, and it's such a delight because when it goes away, it shows up on your ribbon. I think the other gentleman was asking about that. So we are bringing that to Word, PowerPoint, and Excel very shortly. So again, you know, we think about distribution, we think about native experiences. It is a native experience. So we think it will really complement the full experience, the end-to-end experience of acquiring an app to how you use it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there's a ton of best practices that we published already, and we're going to continue to add that because we've heard that people really want to know, how do I do things right?
Exactly.
And we are there for helping them. One other thing that I like to bring up is you can mix together all the three things. It's not like I just do an add-in or I just do an app that integrates with you or just the connector. You can create a solution that puts together various pieces that you have available from the developer platform. Like, for example, we have seen many add-ins that are inside Word but are connecting to the Graph API to bring information from FreeBSD or connect to your OneDrive, send an email. When we think about the solutions on top of Office 365, we really think about, hey, let's see solutions that put together all the different capabilities that we have on Office 365.
Absolutely. And it's been so exciting to see this model grow up, right, over the course of the last 3 years since I've been working on this piece, and just seeing how far we've come and expanded the sets, and now the integrated experiences. Yeah. It's really, really exciting to see.
There are still some seams in terms of, for example, authentication. And that's another topic that has come up a lot. Hey, I'm building an add-in that connects to the graph. and I need to log in and do a consent to the graph. That is something that we are really aware of, and that's another of
that's
the things that
out.
It's in our backlog, and we are working really hard to start making single sign-on in this case, so that you're signing with your Live ID or your Org ID with Office, and
already
you call
already in the Office client,
and that same identity
should be
flows through Office 365, so there's no need for an additional
through
prompt
the
there.
Yeah. Through the add-in.
And Rolando, I think the API you introduced yesterday on the Dialog API also greatly aids the authentication experiences when you are building native buttons onto the ribbon.
Absolutely, yeah. The Dialog, the challenge with Auth flows in add-ins is you need to make it work multi-platform.
Yes.
So Auth flows in general are a little bit tricky because of all the browser difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you add the dimension of multiple native platforms like iOS, Mac, etc., then it becomes a little bit of a challenge. And that's precisely why we put together the Dialog API with the native Dialog, because that just makes it so easy. You don't need to worry about all the differences between the different browsers. You just use our API, and you can have a reliable UI and channel to pass information back and forth.
Yeah. And then get all of the data that is in the services to Microsoft Graph.
Exactly.
One other thing that we announced this week in Graph is the general availability of webhooks.
Yes.
This is really exciting because you can now your app can subscribe to all of the changes on mail and calendar and group conversations and get back, instead of being having to poll for that data, you can just get back a notification when there's any change on the service. So,
and I guess you can hook up that with connectors, right?
That's same. Again, like you were saying before, you know, it's not like you have to do one of the pillars, it's like a combination and build solutions that take advantage of all of the different parts of our platform.
Absolutely.
And I think the way the team designed webhooks is also very smart with the REST APIs, because not only do you get that notification, but it gives you some of the payload right there along with that, that notification. So you don't have to incur an extra round trip to go get the data that you want.
Now, we were talking about Fabric. One thing that people may not know is that Fabric is also coming to native platforms. So I think we're bringing Fabric to iOS. So there's going to be a version of Fabric that allows you to create native UI in iOS. So that's also something that it's really cool. Take a look. And if you're building native apps that connect from iOS to Office 365 APIs, you can use that.
And that's also in the 3 to 6 month time frame?
I think that's probably sooner. I think within the next couple of months that should be out.
Excellent. Excellent news. And so where do we go when we want feedback from our developers and folks that are using the platform?
Great.
So,
go ahead.
We have a whole bunch of content. You start in dev.office.com, right? And there you will find links to all of the different pieces of the platform. We have a lot of our documentation in GitHub. So just go there, check out the docs, and we're happy every time that we see a pull request.
Yes.
So documentation, code samples. For Graph, we have SDKs right there in GitHub as well. So we welcome the community, and we welcome all of the feedback that we receive. For questions, is Stack Overflow is the place to go. We have a couple of tags that we're following. Microsoft Graph is one. Office-JS is the other one. And then for like more like feature requests, User voice is the place.
User voice, absolutely. Yeah. We're definitely looking at user voice.
So. And all of the links you find in dev.office.com is where you want to go.
Awesome.
And if I could cheaply promote connectors here, I mean, I know there are other product teams who also have Stack Overflow and User Voice, and they're constantly monitoring them for feedback. We partner with User Voice and Stack Overflow for connectors.
Yes.
So go ahead and set up a group, and now
it'll
just come to your inbox, right? So
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's easier,
And Gina just mentioned the GitHub, so I just want to also talk a little bit about a very cool thing that we're doing within the teams, which is putting our specs in the open on GitHub.
Yes.
So we call that the open spec process.
Yep.
So what we're doing is that even before we go and build the feature, we're publishing our specs there. So the developers can see how we are designing the feature, what capabilities it's going to include, and even have time to provide early feedback that we watch in GitHub as an open issue or as a pull request. We can take a look at that and maybe influence the direction of the product even before we implement it. Yeah. So that is a great way to also provide feedback that it's going to be much more actionable for us to act because it's before we implement.
That's amazing. Yeah. And that's under the Office Dev org in GitHub.
Yes.
The way you will find the open specs right now is you go to the repos that we have, and if you switch the branch, you are normally on the master branch. Mm-hmm. If you switch the branch, you will see branches that have a preview prefix.
Okay.
And those are the branches that have the open specs.
Okay. And how often are we monitoring the feedback there? Is it just instant? We get notifications?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Excellent.
With connectors, we're excited.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This is fantastic. Amazing news of new features for Office and Office extensibility. And thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you.
And as always, happy coding.